This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One-Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we're looking at Game Week 9. We're going to run through the fixtures. We'll talk about when two juggernauts face up against one another in FPL in a game week and what to do when you've got assets from both teams. We'll talk Saka's fitness and whether or not he's worth replacing. Haaland blanks for three game weeks in a row for the first time in his career. Do we sell him or are we triple captaining him this week? We'll also talk fixture swings for some other teams and we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of game week 9, but not long to go until the deadline. So without further ado, let's get into it. Right then. Game week 9 is fast approaching. The deadline is tonight. That's Friday the 25th of October at 6:30 p.m. UK time. As always, it's 90 minutes before the first ball is kicked of the game week. And in 9, it is Leicester versus Nottingham Forest for the Friday night game. Interesting one, this one, because on paper, you would say that Leicester have a decent chance of getting some returns here. However, Forest have been impressive this season so far. Very solid defensively, and Leicester will not find this one easy. I do think that all three promoted sides are struggling to pick up points. Last week was an interesting one because Leicester actually came from behind and managed to get all 3 points, but that was against a promoted side in Southampton. 3-2, Leicester ran out winners there. Can they carry on that fantastic form this time back at home? Going to be a little bit more tricky. Southampton far more expansive and open defensively than Nottingham Forest have been so far this season. So I think if you do have a Forest defender or maybe sells the keeper, not a bad fixture still, I think, for the Forest defence. Moving on, we've got 5 fixtures on Saturday. We've got Villa versus Bournemouth, Brentford versus Ipswich, Brighton versus Wolves, Manchester City versus Southampton, and Everton versus Fulham. All of those home sides look like they've got decent fixtures on paper, especially Brentford and Manchester City. Brentford facing Ipswich, Manchester City facing Southampton. We'll come on to the Manchester City attack a little bit later, but on paper, they look like great fixtures to be targeting this week for your attacks. For Brentford, obviously, there's Mbeumo. There is, of course, the return of Wissa, who got half an hour off the bench last week. Great to see him back. Got a really good relationship with Mbeumo on the pitch. And that Brentford attack will be all the more dangerous for his return. So Ipswich should probably be slightly fearful going into that game. Brighton, off the back of a fantastic 1-0 away win against Newcastle in game week 8, now go back home and host Wolves, a side that have really struggled, albeit against very difficult fixtures. Nonetheless, Brighton went up to Newcastle in game week 8, came home with a clean sheet, which was much to many people's surprise. I think many expected the Newcastle attack at home to really target that Brighton high line and defensive frailties. Wasn't to be. So can Brighton continue their defensive solidity against a Wolves side that, whilst I say they've struggled, have still managed to get goals? And I actually think that Wolves are about to go into a bit of a fixture swing, and more on that later. Elsewhere, we've got Villa at home against Bournemouth. Really good fixture for the likes of Morgan Rodgers and Ollie Watkins. Even John Duran, if you are inclined to go for a man who is reliably scoring, albeit from the bench. And Everton hosting Fulham. Again, a good fixture for Everton, certainly for the attack. But I wouldn't be holding out for a clean sheet, really, from either side, whether it be Everton or Fulham. Fulham's attack has been impressive. Raul Jimenez has been on the score sheet reliably in recent weeks, and so I can see a return there. But I also like the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Dwight McNeil to get a return as well. A score draw, probably the most likely result in that one. And then on the Sunday, we've got Chelsea hosting Newcastle, a Newcastle side licking their wounds from a home defeat in game week 8. Can they get anything from the visit to Stamford Bridge? I think it's going to be tricky. Even with the likes of Isak and Gordon firing, I expect Chelsea's attack to do some damage to that travelling Newcastle defence. So perhaps Chelsea attacking FPL assets could be the way to go to target in that fixture. Crystal Palace host a Spurs side off the back of a 4-1 thumping of West Ham at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs in really, really good form. The only question mark we've got there is ultimately Son's fitness. We heard afterwards that he was a little bit sore from Ange, and that was the chief reason, I believe, why he wasn't even travelling for the game against AZ Alkmaar, or at least not in the squad in midweek. That being said, I still think that Sonny should be fit enough to face Crystal Palace at the weekend on the Sunday. I think it helps probably he's got the extra day to recover from that one. Then we've got West Ham hosting Manchester United. Interesting one, really, because Manchester United have had a really indifferent form this season so far. And I think with the pressure that Ten Hag has been under in recent weeks, perhaps actually an away fixture against a leaky West Ham defence could actually be just what Manchester United need. So I could potentially see some attacking returns from the likes of Garnacho and Fernandes. And rounding off game week 9, we've got Arsenal versus Liverpool. The big one at the end of the game week, a huge fixture between two teams that are looking to challenge Manchester City to the Premier League title this season. And it's not just the only reason that that is a big fixture and a really interesting one for FPL. Obviously, two strong teams that many FPL managers will have assets from both sides. In particular, many favouring the double Arsenal defence because of their strong, solid defensive reputation over the last 12 months or so, and how well they had started the season defensively. As it turns out, Liverpool have been equally as solid defensively, but it's the Liverpool attack that has tempted so many FPL managers as well. Not just Salah, which is traditionally the way that many FPL managers go, but also the viable option of Luis Diaz this season, Jota for periods of the season as well, and even Trent, who's been offering both attacking and defensive returns as well. So, that all taken into consideration, what do we do when we've got assets from both sides? Well, in this particular situation, there's a few factors that make me lean towards favouring Liverpool over Arsenal in this fixture. Normally, I wouldn't be saying that with Arsenal at home and if you had double Arsenal defence, I would be encouraging you to stick with that. However, the only reservation I have is that historically, this fixture has goals in it. I think the last time that Arsenal kept a clean sheet against Liverpool in the league was in 2016. That's almost a decade ago. So Liverpool have a good record of getting attacking returns home and away against Arsenal in the league. Liverpool are in fantastic form, and Arsenal have just lost some of that defensive solidity that they started the season so brilliantly with in recent weeks. Now, it was originally looking like a bit of an anomaly. The two goals they conceded to James Justin Wonder Strikes against Leicester, we thought would probably be bucking the trend. That being said, Arsenal have not been quite as solid in the last couple of weeks as we would have expected them to be. In game week 7, they obviously conceded to Southampton after those two goals to Leicester, which was a surprise, albeit a 3-1 victory. Then in game week 8, they had Saliba sent off early in the game and then conceded two late goals to Bournemouth in a 2-0 defeat. So Arsenal are having some slight issues defensively at the moment. Now, I'm not saying that your Arsenal players, your Arsenal defenders need to be sold. But what I am saying is that they're not in the greatest run of form. You've got Saliba, who is now suspended for game week 9. And that's going to make that Arsenal defence even weaker. They've got Calafiori out injured as well. So the options are limited for Arsenal at the back at the moment. And with the Liverpool attack looking strong, I would be favouring the Liverpool attack over the Arsenal defence. Now, if you've got a double Arsenal defence, if, say, for example, you've got Saliba and Gabriel, well, you don't really have a decision to make anyway. Saliba's not available this week. You could sell him and replace him with someone else, or you could even bench him depending on who you have to bring in. Now, I have a slightly different setup. I do have the Arsenal double defence, but I've got Raya and Gabriel. So I don't have the Saliba issue to resolve. And I don't mind playing Raya because I do think there is still at least the potential for save points that could be accrued. I'm not expecting a clean sheet. The other thing is that I've got Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, again, not expecting a clean sheet, but he is the defensive goal threat in that Arsenal side. And there is the possibility of set-piece threats and set-piece returns that make me want to just perhaps stick with Gabriel as well. But if you have two outfield defenders for Arsenal, I wouldn't mind benching one of those at all. And obviously, if you've got Saliba, then you don't really need to even worry about making a decision. You know that he's not available to play, so you just put him on your bench. I wouldn't sell Saliba straight away. I think that the Arsenal defence will turn. They've just got a couple of tricky fixtures to get through. Obviously, after this, they go away to Newcastle, and then in game week 11, they're away to Chelsea. So a tricky few weeks in the short term for that Arsenal defence, and I wouldn't necessarily expect them to return immediately to picking up clean sheets over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But from game week 12 onwards, it does get a little bit better for them. So I would say that there's no urgent need to sell your Arsenal defenders. This is just a short blip, I think we should expect. Arsenal over the last year or so have been the best defensive side in the Premier League. I don't expect that to change any time soon. So for this game week, I would look to limit how many players you actually play in your starting 11 from an Arsenal defensive point of view. And I would favour the Liverpool attack. The other reason I would favour that is because if you are a Saka owner and you need to start thinking about a potential replacement, Salah is a decent option to consider. Albeit a tricky fixture against Arsenal in game week 9, Salah has proved that he is a big game player and can deliver attacking returns against the big teams. He did it last week in game week 8 against Chelsea. I see no reason why he can't continue that. Game week 8 delivered another double-digit return for Salah, who is proving to be a player that when he gets returns, he scores big for FPL managers. So definitely a really viable option to replace Saka, even if it is just for a few weeks. What we'll say is that there is a little bit of a fixture swing for Liverpool. From game week 14 onwards, they actually face a really nice run of teams that will offer up a lot of opportunities for that Liverpool attack. So at the moment, for the next 5, they've got a couple of appealing fixtures in there, but a couple of tricky ones. So obviously Arsenal away this week. Then they've got some decent home fixtures against Brighton and Villa, where they could get attacking returns. And then they go away to Southampton. So a nice little 3-game week run, Brighton, Villa, Southampton. Then they face Manchester City, which is obviously always going to be a really tricky fixture. But after City in 13, they have a fantastic run where they face Newcastle, Everton, Fulham, Spurs, Leicester, West Ham, United, Forest, Brentford, Ipswich. That run of 10 game weeks looks fantastic for Liverpool attack. So if you want to get ahead of the curve and you see that in the next 5, they still have to face Arsenal, Villa and Manchester City, many FPL managers will be slightly put off by replacing Saka with Salah because of those tricky fixtures. But what I would say is that Salah does have the capability to return in the big games. He's a big game player. And that's why he costs so much, because he reliably returns. And if you want to get a run on the rest of the crowd that will probably be flocking to bring him in from game week 14 onwards, why not bring him in now? A lot of people are going to be looking at Heung-min Son or Cole Palmer for a replacement for Bukayo Saka for the next few weeks. Saka, unsure whether or not he's going to feature, but Arsenal have tricky fixtures. They've got Liverpool, then they've got Newcastle and Chelsea away in 10 and 11. And then they've got Nottingham Forest at home, a side that are defensively very, very solid. So some pretty tricky fixtures for the next three or four for an Arsenal attacker. So if you are looking to replace him, the obvious choices are actually not Salah in the immediate short term. If you look at Spurs and their fixtures for the next three, they've got Crystal Palace, Villa at home and Ipswich at home. Now, all three of those sides are leaking goals and Spurs look really strong in attack. And the fact that two out of the next three are at home would lead people to go down the route of Heung-min Son as the ideal replacement for Saka for the next three and then perhaps move on to a Salah after that. Also, you could look at Cole Palmer for Chelsea. Now, Chelsea don't have easy fixtures, but he is the main man in that Chelsea attack. So Chelsea have got Newcastle United, then Manchester United, and then Arsenal for the next three before the fixtures look really good from 12 onwards with Leicester, Villa, Southampton, the next three after that. There is, of course, one other player that is worth considering, and that is Manchester City's Phil Foden. If you've already got Erling Haaland, you might also have Rico Lewis or Vardiol. The Manchester City triple up over the next 3 to 4 weeks looks really, really inviting. City face Southampton this week, but then they've got Bournemouth, Brighton and Spurs after that. All sides that will offer chances for that City attack. And I don't see any issues with going down the Phil Foden route as well. He obviously hasn't been a reliable starter or returner for FPL so far this season. But with a couple of injuries to the likes of Grealish and Doku, I think his expected minutes have just skyrocketed. And I think he's far more likely to be starting games regularly for City in the coming weeks. So I think all of those are viable options to replace Saka. But I actually think that Salah is the best option of the lot, despite some tricky fixtures in the short term. And despite them facing a strong Arsenal defence this week, it might not be as strong as it has been in previous weeks. Right then, moving on from the Arsenal-Liverpool fixture, let's talk about Erling Haaland, because he has, for the first time in his career, blanked in three successive FPL game weeks. A bit of a disaster for owners and captainers of the Norwegian striker. And there's even been some debate as to whether or not he's worth the money and is he worth selling. Now, in a week where they're facing a Southampton side who have been astonishingly expansive in the way they're trying to play, creating so many opportunities for their opponents, I can't see anything other than a Manchester City landslide this weekend. And I certainly wouldn't be looking to sell Erling Haaland, whether he's blanked 3 weeks on the spin or not. For me, he is still even the best captaincy choice this game week with that fixture. Now, I personally am a manager that always looks at the fixtures and is heavily influenced by those fixtures. As to who I think is the best captain and who I think is the best player to bring in any given game week. I don't see Haaland as a sell at all. I think that he is still absolutely pivotal to many FPL managers' sides, myself included. And I actually think that for every person who is contemplating selling him, there's another FPL manager who this week is contemplating playing the triple captain. Especially after the reassuring performance that Haaland gave in midweek in the Champions League. Two goals to his name before being subbed. I'm sure he would have liked to have got his hat trick, but the goal that he did score, I'm going to say an overhead scorpion kick or overhead back heel. I mean, absolutely incredible. That was worth a hat trick in itself. An incredible finish, full of athleticism and invention. And only players that are really, really confident take on a finish like that, which is not what you would say of many strikers who have just blanked for three games in a row. But Haaland is clearly built of different stuff. And I see absolutely no reason whatsoever to sell the guy. And I don't blame anyone for triple captaining him this week against Southampton. We're going to see fewer double game weeks this season than we have in previous seasons. And for that reason, if you have a player that has a really, really good fixture and does typically reliably return, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't triple captain him in a game week like this one. So no qualms whatsoever with the triple captain armband on Haaland, if that's the way you want to go. But I certainly wouldn't be selling him. I think Haaland is an absolute mainstay in the side, certainly in my team. And I think he's going to be worth the money keeping him long term. Right then, just before we finish the episode with my likely team ahead of game week 9, I'm just going to discuss a fixture swing for a team that not too many FPL managers will have been keeping a close eye on so far this season, and that is Wolves. Now, Wolves have been really unfortunate in the way the fixtures have run for the opening part of this season. They've had really, really difficult fixtures, which I mentioned in previous episodes. But I do believe that they have attacking ability and the ability for us FPL managers to get attacking returns from some of their forwards. The likes of Cunha and Strand Larsen have looked dangerous in points this season. And also at the back, there's a nice cheap option in Ryan Aitnori at 4.4 million, who gets really far forward and involved in attacking returns as well. And for all of the difficult fixtures they've had in the opening 8 weeks, they have still managed to score a few goals, and the fixtures are about to get a lot better for Wolves. So, in game week 9, they are away to Brighton. Now, after game week 7, when Brighton just looked so frail defensively, but could get at Spurs from an attacking point of view, I was expecting many more sides to exploit that Brighton high line. I even thought that Anthony Gordon down that left-hand side for Newcastle in game week 8 might have done exactly that. But I think that was more down to the shortcomings of Newcastle's attack than the sensational Brighton defence. I do think that Brighton defence can be got at, and I think that Wolves could expose that Brighton team. Playing at home, they're going to play expansively. They're going to try and dominate the game and play a high line. Play some attractive football, and Wolves could easily hit them on the counter. They've got a lot of pace in their side. Ryan Aitnori gets really far forward, and I can see returns from a Wolves attacking point of view. And the fixtures get better after that as well. They've got Palace and Southampton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich and Leicester. What an incredible run of fixtures that is for Wolves. I'm not saying that Wolves are going to win those games. I am saying that there are points to be won from the attacking players in that Wolves side for FPL managers. So I would say Ryan Aitnori as a cheap differential defensive pick at 4.4 million, a great option, gets forward, gets involved in attacking returns, could be a great pick. But I really like Cunha and Strand Larsen. Either one of those, I'm not saying go for both, but either one of those as a third attacking option for our teams, I think is fantastic for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And there might be a few put off by the away Brighton fixture this week, but I would be very tempted to go early. Go this week. If you don't have any significant fires that need putting out, or you've got more than one free transfer, and maybe you want to look at maybe doing a Saka up to a Salah, then maybe look at downgrading a forward like a Havertz down to a Strand Larsen to be able to afford bringing in a Salah or someone like that. I like moves like that where I think the fixtures work and there's points to be won both in midfield and attack. So not a bad option there. But the key thing I'm pointing out here is keep an eye on the Wolves fixture swing, because I think there are points to be won and differentials to target over the next few weeks. Right then, just enough time for me to give you my likely team ahead of game week 9. The deadline in about 6 hours, so I should hurry up. I haven't made a transfer yet. I do have 2 free transfers available. I'm likely to use at least one of those. At the moment, my likely team is David Raya in goal, despite the fact that he faces Liverpool. I don't really want to play Henderson, who I have on my bench, because I don't think either side are going to keep a clean sheet. But I think that Arsenal are a stronger defensive unit than Crystal Palace are. I still think there's more likelihood of Arsenal keeping a clean sheet than Crystal Palace. And I also think there's save points to accumulate from David Raya as well. I've also got Gabriel, who I'm hoping for a set piece return, because I can't see a clean sheet for Gabriel either facing Liverpool. I've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, also who faces Arsenal. And at the moment, I'm going with Konsa at home against Bournemouth. I could go with Anthony Robinson, who is away at Everton, but I fancy that Everton attack at home to deliver something. And the fact that Villa are at home just makes me favour them, especially off the back of another clean sheet in Europe for Aston Villa. In midfield, I've got Dwight McNeil at home to Fulham, Morgan Rogers at home to Bournemouth, Brennan Johnson away at Crystal Palace, Mo Salah away at Arsenal, and at the moment, I've got Minté at Brighton at home to Wolves. However, he is flagged with an injury doubt, and he could be the player that I look to replace this game week. And then up front, I've got Solanke and Haaland. Haaland's got the armband at the moment. I am leaning towards not triple captaining him. I tend to like to play my chips when I'm in a real position of strength. And at the moment, I'm not particularly happy with my overall rank. Haven't had too many green arrows so far this season. Want to get a few more before I start playing my chips. And at the moment on the bench, I've got Henderson, as I say, in goal, Robinson, Greaves, and João Pedro. Now, João Pedro is flagged still as an injury with an unknown return date, and I am now looking to replace him. And what I'm thinking of doing is selling João Pedro, bringing in Strand Larsen at Wolves, and then benching Minté and playing a 3-4-3. So Minté would come out and go on my bench, and I would have Solanke, Haaland, and Strand Larsen up front. That's what I'm leaning towards doing, rolling the other transfer. No immediate need to address any other issues. I've got Greaves, who's injured, and Minté, who is a slight doubt. But I think Minté is a decent option as a budget midfield pick in the next couple of weeks if he gets back to full fitness. So no urgent need to sell him. Greaves, again, is my 4 million defensive option. So no real urgent need to replace him either. So at the moment, just the one transfer, likely to be João Pedro out, Strand Larsen in. We go 3-4-3 and we hope for a green arrow for game week 9. That's my likely team ahead of the deadline, which is in just under 6 hours. A reminder once again, the deadline Friday, the 25th of October, 6:30 p.m. UK time. Don't miss it. Don't get caught out by the Friday deadline. Best of luck to everyone chasing a green arrow. Thank you very much for listening to the pod as always. If you can rate and review it on any platform that you choose to listen to, really is appreciated and helps other people find my podcast. So thank you very much again for that. And I'll talk to you again soon.